Support for WPR comes from Focus on Energy. Committed to helping Wisconsinites focus on the planet by making smart energy choices. Energy resources for Earth Day and every day can be found at focusonenergy.com.
One of the lingering effects of the Great Recession has been long-term unemployment. In Wisconsin, more than a third of unemployed people have been off the job for more than 6 months.
Now, an unsuccessful search for work can take a toll financially and even physically. In the first of Wisconsin Public Radio's series this week on long-term unemployment, Shemaine Mills takes a look at the stress that it causes one's body, their pocketbook, and their mind.
Finding a job is work. Just talk to the unemployed and those helping them. Brian Covey's with Forward Service Corporation. It's a private nonprofit employment training agency.
I've heard a number of our customers say that finding a job is a heck of a lot harder than ever working.
Job seekers often have to learn computer skills just to reach out to employers who may or may not be hiring. Jim Polinski lives in Oneida County. He's been unemployed for a year.
Home Depot's cut back. We're losing JCPenney's. We're going to be losing a furniture store downtown. Davenport Street in downtown Rylander looks like a ghost town. There's no businesses on it anymore.
As in other parts of the state, the number of job seekers in southern Wisconsin is often far greater than the positions available. Lori Mullmans is a Dane County social worker.
The job market is very cruel right now. It's not a kind place to be. And to have to apply for a number of jobs over and over and over and to be rejected, it's painful.
Take James Van Gordon. The 57-year-old Madison man has submitted hundreds of applications over the last 27 months. He hasn't been picky. He's determined to get work, no matter what it takes.
There was an ad in the paper. I called for it, and it was cleaning out porta-pots. I worked on a dairy farm. It doesn't get any grosser than that.
Despite his willingness to work, he didn't get the job. He has experience in construction, restaurant cooking, and logging.
I mean, I've done it all. The guy says, well, how much experience? I said, well, I'm a jack of all trades, but ace of none. Now, you put me in a kitchen, I will dazzle you. I mean, I am an incredible chef.
Van Gordon's long-term unemployment or emergency benefits have run out. 55-year-old Jim Polinski still has benefits as long as he goes to school, but the former machinist worries about the future.
What am I supposed to do at my age? You know, it's really hard. You know, if I lose my employment, I may be homeless.
Adding to the stress is the fact the deck seems stacked against those who may need a job the most. Again, Brian Covey, who works at a job employment agency.
Statistically, you look at the numbers, and for the long-term unemployed, their chances of finding a job the further out they get drop dramatically.
And the longer people go without a job, the tighter money becomes. This can create more roadblocks to getting a job. People who can't pay the phone bill have a hard time contacting employers. Those without a car may not be able to get to an interview. Covey says there are public-private support programs to overcome these obstacles. One involves the State Department of Transportation.
We have one in Wausau that helps people repair vehicles or a vehicle purchase loan, and that's for anybody who is at 200% or less of the federal poverty level.
Like other job centers around Wisconsin, Dane County has been able to have some on-site hiring. This has allowed social worker Mulemans to see something that's hard to forget.
Different employers come in to do the interview, hire on spot, and the look on people's faces when they've been able to get a job, even if it's a temporary job, even if it's low wage.
She calls it an amazing transformation as people get reconnected to work. Shemaine Mills, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up tomorrow in our long-term unemployment series, we'll learn about how Janesville has fared since the GM plant closed there.
Right now, we're expanding the conversation to focus on the stress related to long-term unemployment. Some experts say losing a job can be one of the most stressful things that can happen to you. And we've got an expert with us to talk about that stress related to unemployment and to give us some advice on handling the pressure.
And we'd love to hear from you on this as well. Have you or someone close to you lost your job? What kind of stress did you experience while you were unemployed, or are you experiencing maybe right now? How did you get over the stress? How did you cope with it? And how has unemployment affected the relationships in your life? You can call in and share your stories at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Lawrence Miller is with us now. He's a clinical and forensic psychologist. Lawrence, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here, Jean and Veronica.
So why is unemployment so stressful for people who experience it?
Well, you have to realize most people have two basic psychological legs that we stand on. One is our family leg or our personal relationships, and that includes family, immediate family, friends, support systems, and so on. And then we have what we can call our work leg or our career leg. And this is the job we do and the role that we play in the larger society. And in the best case, when both of these legs are strong, then pretty much nothing can knock us down. We have good family relationships, friends, associations. We're at least satisfied, if not happy, in our career, or at least supporting ourselves and are self-sufficient for ourselves and our family. And in times of stress, one or more of these legs may go out. So if things are rocky at the home front, rocky in our relationships, we're sort of wobbling on that other leg, then the work leg kind of sustains us. We go to work, we do our job, we focus on the work world. By the same token, if the world of work begins to deteriorate, then we kind of rely on our support systems and our family relationships. But when you're employed for a long period of time, you get a vicious cycle because you're out of work, you're feeling less productive, you're feeling less of a self-identified person in the society. At the same time, as your personal relationships begin to become stressed, they become deteriorated, and people who you may have relied on for support and may have relied on you become less reliable as time goes on, not because they don't want to, but because job threats and job loss can have a deteriorating effect on the whole family system.
So it sounds like
it's... You really see, you know, somebody mentioned before in the segment about vicious cycles, how not having access to a car, not having access to gas makes it difficult to find a job, which makes it even less likely to afford things like computers and cars and gas. And these are vicious cycles that refer to material things, but they also happen psychologically. So
It sounds like it's not just that we're losing a job, that there's all kinds of things that come packaged with that job that can come into play, not just in our work life, but in our home life, our relationships. It's a lot more a loss going on than just a job.
Remember, when somebody first meets you, they ask you, what's your name? What's the second question they usually ask you?
Where do you work?
What do you do? What we do defines our identity. It defines the narrative that we tell about our stories. And not having that identity is something that is wrenching when it's ripped away. If it's ripped away temporarily, we might be able to cope for a few weeks, even a few months. But the kind of grinding rejection that many of your previous commentators mentioned in trying to find a job, what you're really doing is you're trying to establish an identity. And every time someone turns you down, they're basically saying, you don't count. We have no place for you here. You can't be self-sufficient. The narrative of your life that you wanted to go in a certain direction has been derailed, and that can be difficult to take.
We're talking right now with Lawrence Miller, clinical and forensic psychologist, and we're talking about the stress that can go hand in hand with job loss and unemployment, and thinking about different coping mechanisms that the unemployed can use to get through these periods of extended unemployment that we're seeing both in Wisconsin and in the nation at large.
And we'd like to hear from you, too. Have you lost your job in this economy? Maybe you haven't lost your job. Maybe a family member has lost your job. What kind of stress did that experience have for you or for your family? And what are you experiencing now? Are you still in the middle of that? Or have you managed to get beyond it somehow? How did you overcome this stress? Give us a call. Share your story at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234.
We're talking now with Lawrence Miller, clinical and forensic psychologist, about the toll that being unemployed for the long term can take, both on your emotional life, your health, and your family.
We'd like to hear from you on this as well. Is this something that has affected you directly in terms of losing your job and then going through all the work and all the stress of trying to find another one? What kind of stress did you experience while you were unemployed? How are you experiencing it now? Give us a call. Share your stories at 800-642-1234. 1234.
And Lawrence, we're going to go right to the phones. We have a lot of folks wanting to talk right now, so we'll go to Jeannie in Madison first. Hi, Jeannie.
Oh, hi there. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Oh, this is such a good topic. You know, I mean, it's I went through it for 2 years, and I think, you know, it starts to wear on you after you start exhausting resources like unemployment and maybe any savings. And then it starts to sink in when you can't fix your dryer, you can't shop like you usually do. You start cooking differently. You start to withdraw somewhat because you get one rejection letter after another. And it's like applying for jobs is such a cold thing nowadays. It used to be where you got called in for an interview and, you know, you at least got your foot in the door for the most part if you were qualified. Now everything is cold. It's online. Half the time you don't hear from people. And I'm an educated person. I just got my master's degree 2 years ago, and I started to rethink how I was applying for jobs. And you know, I was so desperate for a job that I started to take my master's degree off of there because anybody that would look at my experience would not hire me simply based on the fact that I was applying for any possible kind of job that I could find.
And we're going to jump in there and see if our guest, Lawrence, can talk with you about that. Now, Jeannie describing a lot of withdrawal that happens when you can't maintain your lifestyle, and it sounds like there's a certain turning inwardness that happens. Does that sound familiar, Lawrence?
Well, I'm curious about one thing, Jeannie. You said you've been doing this for 2 years. Have you found a job?
Oh, yeah. I've been working at the university, which is in my master's level degree area, for the last year. But it's been I just started a new position today, as a matter of fact, my second LTE position. And I'm trying to get in for, you know, a permanent job. But I think just the way people are being hired these days, too, is different.
I want some of our listeners to focus on that. The fact is that Jeannie did persevere. She did try different strategies, and she was able to secure a job. And I think it's important to realize that although there are no guarantees, the longer you persist, even though it may be harder to find that job, it's kind of like circling a busy parking lot during business hours, and you circle and circle and circle. But by the fourth time you go down that lane, somebody's pulling their car out just when you get there. And a lot of times it really is a matter of playing the law of averages. But the point is, as Jeannie points out, it can be draining and demoralizing to go through that. And another thing that Jeannie mentioned that I commonly see is people who will basically hide their credentials. They'll hide their experience. They'll lower the expectation of the employer because they don't want the employer to think that if they have more training or they're overqualified, that they're going to leave once something better comes along. And again, as we were saying before, in terms of one's professional identity, that can be quite a bitter pill if you've worked long and hard for something like a master's degree and now basically have to put it into hiding in order to get a job.
Well, congratulations on getting out of the unemployment cycle, Jeannie, and wish you well in your future job hunt. And let's go next to Michelle, who's joining us in Racine. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Hi. What has what's your experience with this?
Well, I was an architectural drafter. And when everything slowed up, I was laid off. At the same time, my mom got sick, so I started helping her. And then I decided just to go back to school. So I went back for occupational therapist assistant, which is a 2-year degree. And I didn't work all through school. And then I got out of school, and I was trying to find a job. Well, there was not a lot of jobs where I lived. Occupational therapy assistant. So it took me a while, and finally I just went for anything. So I worked, just at a Kmart, and then I worked as a personal care worker for a company for a little while just to get a job.
And what are you doing now?
Now I found a job, but I have to travel to Illinois for an occupational therapy assistant. Mm. But I did finally get a job, and one of the questions they asked me was, you graduated in May, so why did it take you so long to get a job? So, and then I answered because my dad ended up getting sick while I was helping him. So at least I had, an excuse. But
Right. So a lot of factors going into to what happened with Michelle. It can be you're looking for a job, but it can also be life circumstances going on. And Lawrence, what would you say to Michelle about her journey?
Well, it's interesting what happened to you because you talk about the psychological impact. Here you were not employed for a long time because you couldn't find a job, and employers were essentially looking at it as if that was somehow your fault or your choice. You know, why have you been unemployed for so long? Well, the answer is because I was looking for a job and I couldn't find one. But for them, it was almost like a moral issue. And these are, you know, we were saying before, some of your commentators had said, these are some of the demoralizing aspects. When people keep telling you, why don't you have a job, why don't you have a job, you start to suspect yourself, am I looking hard enough, am I doing enough? And usually the answer is yes, but if somebody keeps accusing you of not trying hard enough or not doing enough, pretty soon you begin to suspect yourself, and this can add another layer of depression over the already discouragement that people are experiencing. It's important to be able to fight through that and have support systems who can reinforce you, and if all else fails, reinforce and encourage yourself. Bear in mind you are trying hard, you are doing the right thing, you are trying to be self-sufficient, you're not trying to depend on someone else, and if someone doesn't appreciate it, then it's just a matter of having yourself reinforce it to your own self.
Is that one of the silver linings here, that you know maybe it is hard and demoralizing and eroding of confidence and all of that, but maybe you're growing resilience, maybe you're strengthening emotional muscles you didn't know you had?
You have to be careful when you talk about resilience because, yes, people do grow from adversity, and this is in all things in life. It's whether you're looking for a job, if you've been the victim of a trauma, or anything else. And there's a certain culture that's grown around this sort of growth from adversity and resilience. But you've got to realize that you can't make that as an expectation of people because then people start to wonder, well, I had this adverse experience. How come it didn't make me a better person? And what you realize is most people are doing well just to survive, just to get by. Not to deteriorate. And that's enough. And that's all that really a person can expect of themselves. Sure, if from your experience you have some kind of transcendent experience or you find strength in yourself or talents that you didn't know existed, that's great and enjoy it and use it in good health. But don't put that expectation on yourself or on someone else because that could backfire and have a demoralizing effect. You do what you need to do to get by. When people give you advice, including my advice, take it with a grain of salt because everybody's situation is a little different and people sometimes have to use their instincts of what they need to get by and surpass.
So when you're in these situations, surviving can be enough.
It can be enough. The first step is to survive. Then if you want to go further, you know, if you're slipping down a cliff, the first thing you've got to do is get a toehold. Once you have a toehold, you can think about climbing back up. But the first step is to stop the slide, and I think that's what a lot of these people are trying to do.
All right, let's go to our next caller. We have Barb on the line from Stoughton. Hi, Barb.
Hi. I'm not surviving. I'm the spouse of someone who cannot find a full-time job. He graduated 4 years ago with honors and has been bounced around one school system to another with part-time jobs or temporary jobs. We've just lost our home, and I just don't know what to do. It's like, you know, how can I support him when he can't support us?
Right. Thank you. Thank you for asking that, Barb. That's really important, and I'm sorry for everything you're going through. Lawrence, what advice can we give Barb?
Well, there are different kinds of support. And again, it's kind of like people starting to feel guilty because they can't be a good cheerleader for someone who has been unemployed for 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. The first question you have to ask is that person doing all they can do to become employed? You know, one of the things that's interesting about all of our callers, I believe all of them, were sort of at mid-level positions. They had degrees. These weren't people who were at the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder and looking for subsistence jobs. These were people who had invested a certain amount of time and effort in their education and their training, and now they're finding that society is almost spitting that back in their faces. They're saying that not only don't we have a position that's commensurate with your training and education, but that can actually be a liability. If you tell us all the accomplishments that you were proud of, we'll consider that a liability. The downside of that, and sometimes the poisonous side of that, is that people who have that training, have that education, really don't want to step down. They will hold on to getting a job in their chosen field, come hell or high water, and sometimes the water does get too high, and you have to make some of the compromises that a few of our previous callers have made. So the question for a spouse to ask their opposite number who is looking for a job is, are you doing everything you can to to get a job, even if you think that temporarily the job will be beneath your qualifications and training. And if that spouse says, yes, I'm doing that for the sake of my family, then you need to be extremely supportive, because it's hard to imagine what it's like for someone to take a position that they feel is beneath them out of a sense of responsibility to their family, because they know it's the right thing to do, even if it's painful. And that's where it's important to help that person hold on and give them the support that they need.
Barb, thank you so much for calling, and I wish you and your family the best of luck as you go forward. And Lawrence, in our last 30 seconds here, could you just give us one piece of information that you think everyone should know as they grapple with this? And clearly lots of people are grappling with this.
Your people who are out there looking for a job are operating under a tremendous degree of stress. Sometimes people will offer criticism. Sometimes people will offer well-meaning advice. And as I said before, any advice, including my own, should be taken with a grain of salt. If you feel that you're using your instincts and your talents to get a job, listen to the advice of other people, but don't feel bound to do what someone else is doing, because everyone's situation really is unique.
Lawrence, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been my pleasure.
We've been talking to Lawrence Miller, clinical and forensic psychologist.